I want you to know that God loves you and that He loves you so much and He knows exactly where you're at. And not only does He know exactly where you're at, but He's meeting you right where you're at today. So if you're in a turmoil today, God has met you right in that place. If you're in depression this morning, God is meeting you right in the depression. If you're God, in Jesus' name, you said that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So right now, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I loose mental health all in the place. I loose deliverance, Lord, in peace and gladness. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I and God, right now, I turn this service over to you. Lord, I ask that you convict where there needs to be. Deliver where there needs to be a deliverance. God, I speak recovery into the lives of your children right now, and I bind up addiction in this place, and I loose, God, your presence in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Welcome this morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Kelly Sprick. It's so good to see you here this morning. And like I said, if you don't hear anything else that I preach, I want you to know that God loves you. And I feel like that is something that is taken so insignificantly now because we hear it and it's become like it doesn't matter. But I want to tell you really from the deepest part of my heart, the living God loves you. He loves you and He cares about you this morning. He cares about where you're at. He cares about the trials that you're going through. You know, out of all of the... I'll just kind of lay the foundation for things for people that don't know me real well. I've been a pastor for the past 6 years, and my family founded this ministry in 1987, and it has always been an interdenominational ministry. It always will be. It always will be. I am not anti-denomination. We are interdenominational, but I will tell you this. When we all get to heaven, all of that's going. And first and foremost, God didn't come here for you to have a denomination, but He did come for you to have a relationship. First and foremost, and I married a Catholic, so don't send me your hate mail. People are like, oh, she's anti-denomination. Man, I am pro-believer. I am pro-believer. And I am pro-Jesus. Out of all the messages that I've ever preached, last week's message got the most likes, got the most interactions, got the most traction. Amen. The amount of people that don't even go to this church and they messaged me privately and they said, you know, we want to thank you for sticking up for what God says in His Word. You know, the truth is not popular because nobody wants to hear truth anymore. You will not get me behind the pulpit giving you my opinion, but what you will get me is directing you right to the Scriptures. I've founded my personal ministry on that because you can ruin people's lives by giving them opinions, but you can help save their life when you give them truth. Truth is still the only thing that sets you free. Amen. You know, I'm going to take us back many, many years ago. In 1998, my father that founded this ministry, he was preaching a message. There are pivotal moments in people's life. There's pivotal moments in your life that you'll remember forever. And our life is made up out of pivotal moments. And Mindy, stand up for just a moment. I was sitting right where Mindy is sitting today. You can sit down, Mindy. I like to get people up and interacting in the service. It helps keep them awake. But if you can sleep through one of my services, then you probably need to rest. But I was sitting right over there, and my dad at that time, well, he's always been my dad, but he founded the ministry. If you think that you're going to get your run-of-the-mill church and your run-of-the-mill pastor here, you up in the wrong church, because I'm not going to be like every other pastor, because God don't need any more of that. What He needs is men and women of God and men and women of integrity. And He was preaching a message called Saving Our Children. And I know this because I wrote it in the back of this Bible that I've had since I was 10 years old that he bought for me on the square when there was a Christian Bible bookstore on the square. And that was many years ago, about 30, actually. And as I sat there listening to his message, saving our children or losing our children, he was standing at the pulpit and he pointed at me and he said, "Kelly, you have the heart of a lion and you're going to change your generation." And I wrote that down all those years ago. And I've thought about that many, many times. And you know, last week I had a decision whether I was going to be like everybody else in our culture and in our society, or if I was going to be that woman of God that God has always called for me to be, to stand up for his word and to stand up for the truth. And I can tell you that last week when I left this pulpit, I had answered that call that my father had prophesied over my life for many, many years. And so I do have the heart of a lion, and I am going to change my generation, and I'm going to ask my congregation to bear with me because I'm going to begin to shift more and more and more to unsugar-coated truth. Because we don't need the sugarcoating. Every empty seat that you see is probably someone that I've offended just by saying a little something. And here's the truth. I'm going to start saying a lot of somethings. Because the world and the congregation and the people that are watching, that's what people need in this day and age is truth. And everybody's asking themselves, what is the truth anymore? And the truth is, like I just said, the only thing that will set you absolutely free. And the truth is found in nowhere else but his word. But his word. So go with me this morning to Joel chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 13. And I don't know what other people did this past week, but I am still reeling off of the current events, and I have never preached a political message until last Sunday, and I have no regrets, and I'm not recanting anything that I said. I stand behind it, every single thing that I said. I appreciate that. But there were days where I sat in my recliner and I said, "God, what next? What happens in America now?" Anybody else do that? You just sat and, you know, we get so overstimulated by every opinion that's on Facebook, by all the stuff that's out there. Who knows if it's really real? And then you just have to ask yourself, how does the world go from here after this? And as God showed me in his word, as I begin to meditate, I'm going to go over that this morning. Joel chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. And it says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart. Return to me. And I believe that there are people, maybe some in this church, but in the world for sure, watching on social media for sure, there are people, and you've left God in many, many ways. Maybe you still claim to be a Christian, but I want to ask you this morning, what does your life show that you are? I'm not asking about what you say you are, because words are very cheap. I'm asking you, what does your life say that you are? What does Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, what do those 7 days of the week, what do they have to say about you? Because see, at the end of the day, that is you. That is you. And see, the word of God says that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very, very few there be that find it. And that is because it is very hard to enter into that gate. Because to enter into the gate, there can be no, "I'm okay, you're okay. Oh, your lifestyle's okay." No, the way that you enter into the gate is you enter in through his word. And unless your life is going to parallel to the word, you'll have a hard time entering in. I don't want to preach to you doom and gloom, but I have to preach to you the truth. I have to preach the truth because that's your best shot. And for those people, and the only time you ever open up the word of God is when you're sitting here in this church, that's not going to cut it. That doesn't work. Your word is what you build your life on. And if you only hear it on Sunday, that's not helping you. David said in the Psalms, Lord, your word have I hidden inside of my heart that I would not sin against you. See, the word of God, when it's living and active in your life, it keeps you from the sin that wants to get you. It keeps you from the sin that wants to bind you up. And so it says, return to me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. I ask you this morning, does he have all of you? Does he have it all? Does he have every category of your life? Does he have every failure of your life? Does he have every success in your life? Does he own you? Does he have you? People say, you know, I don't really know what God wants for me. And I'm going to tell you this. It's found right here in his word. All he's ever wanted was you. All he's ever wanted was you. So much to the point where he gave up the one thing that he had that was the most precious thing. And it was his son. All he's ever wanted was you. Was you. That's how important that we are to him. And so when he speaks to us and he says, return to me with all of your heart. See, God wants all of you. And you say, well, all I've got to offer God is the depression, the suicidal thoughts, the anxiety. God wants that. He wants it all from you. When you come in here and you're so weary, you can't raise your hands. He wants the sacrifice of praise from you. Why? Because he loves you. When you think that you've gone too far and nothing can ever make anything right again, he's the only one that can. And I promise you that he will. Why can I say that? I'm living proof. Living proof. You're looking at a divorced female pastor pastoring in the South. And let me explain something to you. That's very hard to do. Why? Because of religion. But I'm not going to run from the story of my life. I'm not going to run from the journey. I'm going to embrace it. Why? Because it's a part of who I am. Do I wish that wasn't a part of it? Yeah. Every kid in the place, every single person in the place, don't get married before you know that it's the right person. Because the heartache that you'll feel when you don't make sure is almost unbearable. Return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Verse 13, rend your heart and your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Go now with me to Joel chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 14. Here's where I believe that a lot of people are this past week. Because here's what I can tell you. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, September the 10th at 12:23, that changed the world. I don't know if you understand that. I don't know if you see it as that. But it did. It did. The death of Charlie made people look at their life. He challenged people to think about how they were living. We were all born sinners. Do you agree? The day that you ask Jesus into your heart, you are saved by an impeccable amount. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Where have you been this week? You can't get on Facebook. You can't get on the news. You can't really go too far without hearing it. Why? Because the world changed. And it took a shift. People like never before are going to have to choose how you're going to live. How you're going to live. Because you've got one shot at your life. And I'm going to explain this to you. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Amen. To anybody. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I believe that I'm looking at a bunch of believers in here this morning. But just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have decisions to make. Because there's some of you, and you've been riding a fence, and you've been riding it for a long time. And God's telling you today, you better get off of that fence, and you better choose how you're going to live. Because, see, if you're lukewarm, He's going to spit you up out of His mouth. God wants all of you. Does He have you? Does He have you? If it cost you your life, does He have you? If it cost you your friends, does He have you? If it cost you everything, does He have you? Because that is the choice. That is the choice. And what does your life reflect? Because people can say anything about who they are. But you will know them by the fruit that they bear. You will know them by the fruit that they bear. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Hallelujah. Return to me with all of your heart. What does that mean? God wants you to make a heart connection. He wants you to make a heart connection. You know, I grew up on the Word of God. I grew up in church. I was a preacher's kid. That was a hard thing to be. I hated it. I was judged for it. I was made fun of it. But you know what? I embrace that now. We got up every morning at 5:30 and read the Bible whether we wanted to or not. And let me tell you something, we never wanted to. We never wanted to. And let me explain this to you. Your kids are not going to want to do the godly thing most of the time. And if your clothing, housing, feeding, and providing for your children, you should put the Word of God in them also. Because if you don't, you're robbing them from the best inheritance that they're ever going to have. And you could be the matter of life and death for your child. People rush out to get their kid the latest thing, the latest game, the latest pair of sneakers, the best of this and the best of that, and then they fail to give them Jesus. And see, if you fail to give your child God, what did you really give them? Material things. The only thing that you can take out of this life is souls. That's it. May they be the ones in your own household. But see, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that in the last days, your enemies will be that of your own household. Why? Because, see, parents are failing to do the right thing. They are failing to stand up for what's right. They are failing to raise their children in church. Oh, well, little Johnny doesn't want to, so I'm not going to make him. You know what? You're hurting little Johnny by letting him do what he wants to do. And if I'm offending you right now, that offense is actually conviction, and that's the Holy Spirit coming up into your life and saying, you're wrong for doing that with your kid. People are asking themselves, what just happened in the world? Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 24. We need to make a heart connection with Jesus Christ. You know, when somebody asks me to pray, somebody will say, pray for my aunt, she has cancer. Pray for this person, pray for that person. And you know what I try to do, Angel? I try to put myself in their place. And if they've asked me to pray for their aunt, I'm going to pray for their aunt like it was my aunt. And I make that connection deep inside of myself. Years ago, my whole childhood, the Bible really didn't mean anything, but my parents had planted it in me. And to this day, Cece, when I preach, I can quote scripture that I didn't even know was inside of there. And that didn't happen on accident. See, when we went to bed at night, my mom and dad would play the Bible. I heard it. See, be careful, little ears, what you hear. In my entire life, I thought that the Bible was so boring. So I get it. And that's because it didn't take life inside of me until I was ready for it to. You really want to love your kids, you pray that they meet God. Pray that they meet God and begin to love God. What is their best shot at that? You introduce them. You introduce them. One day I prayed a prayer and I said, God, I ask that your word would come alive inside of me. And I promise you, from that day, when I opened up the Bible, the Word of God became alive to me. When I read the Word, it's very exciting to me. And I know that as much of it as I can put inside of my heart, that's as much help as I'm going to get. The Word, because it's living and because it's active, it goes to parts of your life that where there's trouble. And the Word of God navigates you as a person, as a mother, as a father, as a believer, as a son, as a daughter. Because see, when you've got the Word up inside of you, it's hard to do some nonsense. I know we've all got our shenanigans. People ask me all the time, Pastor Kelly, how did I cuss that person out in Harps? Well, I'm going to tell you how you did it. You sat up in your recliner every night and you started rehearsing exactly what you'd say, and then you saw them face to face and know you chose not to control yourself. People that say, oh, I just couldn't control it, that's a bunch of bulls. You know what? Billy's like, oh, God. Can we control what we say? These kids around shooting people. Oh, I can't control it. Yeah, you're going to control it. And if we don't start controlling our children, who's going to control them? The law. How do I know this? Because I go visit them every Monday. And I'm going to explain this to you too. Don't look down on people just because they've made a mistake. Because I'm going to tell you what, when I go and I sit down in them in their pods, what I realize is they're people. Here's what I'm going to also explain to you, and this is going to get me some real hate mail. I stopped checking that. It eats up all my time. The day that Tyler Robinson asked Jesus into his heart and he says, God, forgive me for what I did. God, forgive me for what I did. I'm going to tell you this. God loves him as much as he loves you and I. And I am very hardcore against what he did. And I don't have a lot of nice things to say about that situation, but here's what I know, that the same God that loves you and that loves me and that saved you and that saved me can also do that for him. And we've got to stop thinking that just because we don't like somebody does it means that they can't have the same Jesus. No, honey, they got the same one. The same one. So John chapter 12, verse 24. Y'all should have seen all your eyeballs. I'm not a scripted pastor. The anointing is not in the script. Here's what Jesus has to say. I tell you the truth. See, the word truth here. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The day that Charlie Kirk was murdered, he became a seed of wheat that fell to the ground. I'm going to read that again to you because, see, it's important that you understand what is going on in America, because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I hope most of all that you're two things. I hope that you're saved, number one, because that's more important than being a Democrat or a Republican. Can we get that straight? I hope you're saved, number one. And number two, I hope you're proud to be an American, because if you're not, you got no business being up in this country. I was at a ball game the other day. Kids won't even stand for the flag for the Pledge of Allegiance. There's something about honor that has to be taught, and we're falling up short. If you've got a grandkid and they want to dishonor God, you make it well known to them. You're not going to do that around me. My dad told us, if you're offending God, you're offending me. And he prayed for us, God, help my children not to offend you. John chapter 12, verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Many seeds. I saw something, and it said, we are all Charlie Kirk. I understand there's probably people in this room that have a difference in opinion. That's why I'm not reading opinions. I'm reading out of the Word of God. The truth is found in His Word. And when you look at what Charlie Kirk said to young people, it was biblical and it was godly. Did he always have the best delivery? No. But it made you think about the way you were living. How many of you have watched one Charlie Kirk video in the room? You've watched at least one of them. Did it convict you? Did it make you think? Did it challenge you? People are very confused when they come to church. They want their ears tickled and their self petted. And really, church was meant to challenge you and to heal you. It was meant to correct you. And if you get under a pastor that loves your tithe and loves your presence more than they love your soul, that's a bad pastor. Stick with the one that'll just tell you when straight up when you're wrong. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. I'm going to say that one more time. Whoever serves me, must follow me. And we are not the Lone Ranger. Whoever serves me must follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me. Y'all say it with me. Why? I want to get it deep down in your heart. Whoever serves me must follow me. What did he also tell us? You want to come after me? Take up your cross and follow me daily. What is your cross? Every wicked thing that you want that you're saying, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow you, God. We all got stuff that we'd like to do. We'd all got the people that we'd love to probably cuss out in harps. We all have things that don't make us look good. Those are the things. Whoever serves me must follow me. Are you serving Jesus? Do you serve him? Best example I have of serving. When you pull up at McDonald's, I'm about to bring this full circle. I'm going to preach where we live. If they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, what they should say is, how can I serve you today? How can I serve you today? See, when you wake up in the morning, if you're serving Christ with your heart, with your words, and with your actions, you should say, how can I serve you today? How can I serve you today? If somebody stripped away your name and all they could see was your actions, did you serve Christ this week? Did you serve him? Did you serve him? Did you do what he wanted you to do? A lot of people have no direction in the world today because they don't even talk to God. I said a lot of people have no direction in today's world because they don't even talk with God. How do you get your instruction and your direction? Well, you have to have a conversation with him. And the day that you decide to get out of routine and to start serving him and loving him and being a believer, that's the day where you have that heart connection. There's people, God loving, God fearing people, but they're in the middle of a routine and they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. They just come to church out of a routine. I ask you to get involved. When that pastor says, open up the Bible to this, this, and this, you need to not even rely on this unless you can't read. And some people can't. That seat right there that's reserved, that's Charlie Jackson, and that was a deacon here my whole life, and he couldn't read. I don't know what good that thing did for him, but he could at least see it. He at least knew what it looked like. When you get into the Word of God, the Word of God gets into you. When the Word is in your heart, that's a good start. Because see, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all. Who can know it? That Word planted in that heart helps direct that deceitful heart. Because your heart can tell you a lot of things that's not true, only to get you off track. And I remind you that feelings are not facts. Oh, I just feel like the whole world's against me. No, you're having a pity party for yourself. Tell that feeling it's got to go. I just feel like I can't this. No. See, the Word of God says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I want you to think about your life. God wants you to be challenged today. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Are you making a difference? I don't care how old you are. Is anybody 90 years old up in here? Paul, stand up. One of my absolute most favorite people. I forgot that you were 90 because you don't act like it. But let me explain something to you. People that say they can't do nothing for God, they're full of it. Because what, you're like 92, right? Yeah. He's 92. He's a veteran. He worked all of his life, raised kids that didn't belong to him, is still doing that. And not only that, he's here every time the doors are open. Monday, a 92-year-old man, Paul, he has the biggest food route on the Monday night meals that we do for seniors. We serve 225 people a meal, and Paul and his wife have the biggest list. They got like 40-something people. On Wednesday, he's here every Wednesday. Most of the time, one of the very first people here, he stands in the line and he fills the boxes. See, don't tell me that you can't serve God. Don't tell me you can't do nothing for God. Can everybody do it at this capacity? No, because a lot of you are still working. But you know what you can do? You can raise your family right. You can pray for your grandchildren. You can call up the pastor and say, Pastor, is there anybody that I can pray for? Is there anything that I can do? You can get on your knees and you can begin to pray for the messed up world that we're all up in. The mistake that we've made is feeling insignificant, like we can't do anything or make a difference, because I promise you, you set your heart and you say, God, make me a difference maker. And see, God already did. He just wants you to live it out. Every single person under the sound of my voice, God raised you up. He provided for you. He preserved you. He protected you so that you could live and breathe and have your being in Him and do something for Him. God don't want you sitting on a church pew like a bump on a log. These walls are not the church. Thank God. Because I'm getting sick of Greg. Right? But you're the church. What is this message about? Please think about your life. Challenge yourself. If there's some things that you're doing and you know they're not right, you need to get them under the blood of Jesus Christ that saves and forgives. Can the believer still sin? Absolutely. Do they? Absolutely. But don't be in habitual, consistent sin. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. Where I am, there my servant must also be. You know how many people's asked me what side of the political stuff that I'm on? I'm not a political person, but I am a Jesus person. Go with me to Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. I believe that Charlie Kirk was a martyr, because when you look at the biblical definition of what that is, he fits every single category for that. Why was he murdered? Because of his beliefs that he had in Jesus Christ. Because he would not cheat on the Lord with an adulterated version of what God says is right. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. We're going to all have to ask ourselves this, and we're going to all answer for it also. Here's Moses. And they had made a god. They had made an idol. Aaron allowed them to do it. Why? Under pressure. Under pressure. You don't need leaders that are going to make dumb decisions out of pressure. You need a leader that's willing to stand alone, because a lot of times, I guarantee you, I've stood right there and felt very alone, but I knew that I was with God. When you're leading your household, this is a decision that you have to make. Moses came back. He saw that they had made an idol. He saw that they had made a god. He was very disheartened. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Who is on the Lord's side? See, in a world where they're making us pick blue or red, Democrat or Republican, I hope that more than you're any of those things, and let me explain something to you. I'm a registered voter. I pick that side. And when it's voting season, she's going to be the first box that I check. And God needs more of Tanya Fletcher, I promise you. But more than a side, I hope that you can claim this verse for your life that says, "Who's on the Lord's side?" See, God's asking people all that this past week. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? You got to get off of the fence. You have to be intentional with your life. Who's on the Lord's side? Can I keep this very real? I could write a book or have a really great TV show, I promise you. Some of y'all ain't going to like this story that I'm fixing to tell. I'm just going to pre-warn you. I like to make people aware they're about to not like something. Because I care about people. A few weeks ago, somebody messaged me that was living in a homosexual lifestyle. And by the way, countless people with grown children that live in a homosexual lifestyle messaged me last week, and they said, "I want to thank you for saying what you said from the pulpit." This person messaged me, and they were upset. And they said, "I'm going to send a bunch of drag queens to your church to sit on the front row." I said, "Y'all talking to the wrong preacher." Because let me tell you something. I'm going to just explain some things very hardcore. Whether it's homosexuality, adultery, fornication, gluttony, cheating, lying, robbing, stealing, coveting, envying. Can you understand that's all sin? So, man, you done got a hold of the wrong girl. And you tell them, drag queens, they're more than welcome, and I will have a reserved thing right on the front, because see, I want them to come up in here, because see, I trust that God knows what church to send people that are different to. You think I'm going to treat a drag queen different than I would treat whatever? No. Why? Because y'all just people. I trust that the words that come out of my mouth, by the time that they hit the person in the pew, God's going to begin to work on the heart. I'm not going to be threatened by that nonsense. Because, quite frankly, I think there's no better place for them to be. And everybody else that's doing things. And I tell you one thing. I've been in church all my life, and there ain't nobody besides Daddy over here that knows church politics probably better than I do in this building. It's never the person that you can clearly see what their sin is. Amen? It's never the person that you can clearly see what their sin is. It's all these people looking normal. Whatever that is anymore, I have no clue. It's all the normal looking people that got all their secret sins. God loves people. God loves you. He wants to know right where you're at this morning. Are you on God's side? Are you on His side? Are you compromising your opinions just so you don't upset somebody in your friend group? Are you on His side? Who's on the Lord's side? Go with me now to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 15. Somebody sent me this week, and I love it, and it was a meme, and it said, one of the biggest issues in the church today is people thinking that their opinions outrank the Scripture. Yep. Our opinions don't outrank the Scripture. God will never change His mind. And He'll never change His mind about loving you. He loves you. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to start at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's a quality that we have less and less of the longer we go on. Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. What God are you serving? What God are you serving? A good way to identify that is to search your heart, and whatever is more important than God, that is your God. Whatever's more important to you than God, that is your God. Thank you, Angel. I said, whatever's more important to you than God, that is your God. God is a jealous God, and He said, I will have no other gods before me. Here's a statement that every believer has to align with. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm not asking you if you're a Christian in here today. I'm asking you if you're serving Him. Are you serving Him? Are you serving Him? Does he have the right to make all of your decisions? Does he have the right to come in and say, hey, this right here, this isn't right in your life? Does he have the right in you to say, hey, I want more of you? I want more of you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I don't think there's a more beautiful sound on this earth than the sound of pages of the Word of God turning. And most of the time, unless I'm pressed for time, which I'm not today, I wait for you to get there. Because let me tell you something, it's so important for you to see it for yourself. It's important for you to see it for yourself. God loves every single one of you in here this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. If somebody said, Pastor Kelly, what is one of the main areas in today's society where we've went wrong? Now, this is an opinion, but here's what I would say. We have given our children and the world at large too many choices, when really the most important choices are very few. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. You have witnesses that are witness to everything that goes on. You have guardian angels that preserve your life. God has saved your life so many times that you're not even aware of. And then we sit and we wonder on our worst days, does God really love me? Let me tell you something. You have no idea, and you cannot even begin to fathom how much that He loves you. Because He does things for you that you don't even understand. Because our way of thinking is so beneath Him. But He saved you many, many times. And one of the things that He saved you from many times is yourself. Is yourself. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you. Here's the choices. Life and death. Blessings and cursings. What is the choice? Life or death? A blessing or a curse? Choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want curse? Do you want life or do you want death? How many of you are parents out there? We love our kids, don't we? Probably more than anything on this earth, we love our children. Last Sunday night, my dad met me right at that door, and his little eyeballs were so big. And he's been the best dad. He has. Him and my mother have been the best parents ever. And I can say that because they gave me something to where I'll never have to be alone. Because they introduced me my whole life to Jesus Christ. And he said, Kelly, this is coming from a very blunt person. I just had to laugh. He goes, boy, you put it out there today, didn't you? I said, I sure did, Daddy. He said, well, you be real careful wherever you go. I'm just a little concerned. That's natural. But I'm going to tell you something. I just want to ask you. If your truth is founded in Jesus Christ and somebody killed you for it, it was worth it. It's worth it. He that loves his life will lose it. But he that gives it to me, they're going to find it. Let me tell you something. The day that Charlie Kirk was shot, God literally took him by the hand, led him through the pearly gates, and was able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Why? Because people won't even stick up for their mama, let alone stick up for Jesus. Who's on the Lord's side? Can you say, as for me and my household, we're going to serve God? And once again, if you are feeding children, if you are housing children, if you are providing for them, you have every right and you should steer them towards the Lord. Every Sunday morning in my childhood, we would get loaded up in the car. My dad would get that rearview window, that rearview mirror, and he'd look at us, and we'd get a pep talk. And this is what he'd say. It's not about our four and no more. You're going to get up in this church, and you're going to serve Jesus. When that praise and worship hits, you're going to clap your hands. You're going to raise your hands. You're going to worship the living God. You're going to do right because I'm housing you. I'm feeding you. I'm clothing you. And as long as you're in this house, you're going to serve God. People think that's child abuse now. They think it's child abuse now, and it ain't even funny. People literally think that's child abuse. And I'll tell you why. Because you think your kids get the choice. Your children ain't even old enough to make that choice, and neither are mine. Every Sunday night, I tell Carson, you get your butt behind those drums, and you have a good attitude while you're doing it. Because, see, you're in my house. You're going to serve God. You're going to love God. And you know what? When you get out on your own, then I'm going to have a promise to stand on. Because, see, I've done my part. Get your butt up there, and you play those drums. Does he want to do it? No. Why? Because he's rebellious and he's a kid. And don't think I don't love the kids in this church. I love y'all. Let me explain something to you. What you see that goes on in this church, you hardly find anywhere else. Why? Because the youth lead a lot of the church in praise and in worship every service. I wouldn't want it any other way. Why? Because, see, we're handing this down to the next generation, and every leader has to understand, hey, we're training these kids up. We're wanting them to take this on, see? We didn't give our whole life for this to just be done when we're dead. God will raise somebody up, and they're going to be way better than me. We're constantly working to hand this down. I hope in your family, in your heart, and with your children, you're constantly working so your great, 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 great grandchildren have the same Jesus that you got. How many of you want your babies in heaven with you? That will not happen by accident. It will not happen by accident. Last place for me this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Coco, he usually sits by my mother in church, and I'd got him a new Bible. Get your kids and get yourself a Bible you can understand, because if you can't understand it, it won't do you any good. You got to be able to understand what you're reading. And I got him some highlighters. He was over there, and he was just a reading, and he was just a highlighting. My mom said, "Coco, what are you highlighting?" He said, "Only the important stuff." He was highlighting every verse. Let me tell you something. Man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Church, get into His Word. Get into His Word. If I say something that offends you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to get your smartphone out, and I want you to investigate it and read it and search it out for yourself. Too many people are church hopping, thinking every time the pastor offends him, it's time to go. No, it's time to read it for yourself. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name, are you His people? Are you His? I started off this message saying all that He's ever wanted was you. That's the truth. All He's ever wanted was you. He gave everything up for you, but you have to claim Him for your own. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, this next two words is the most important thing. And turn, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. What is God looking for? A turn. A turn. In the big ways, in the small ways, God is looking for a turn. Jeff, was this a good sermon? Thank you. I love you guys. As good of a sermon as this could be, it's nothing unless you walk out those doors and live it out. You have to live out the sermon because you are the church. If you can see in your life, this is where we see how truthful we're going to be. You can say, "God, there's some wickedness up in my life and I need to turn from it." And I can see that. I see the wickedness. I see the places where I need to turn. You know, and a lot of people, they want to justify, "Oh, it's not that bad." It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What does that mean? It's the little compromises that we're saying it's not that bad. It's those things that ultimately end up destroying us. If there's some things in your life and you're saying, I know the things, I need God to help me to turn from them, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. Because, see, I believe that God's meeting you where you're at. If you're in your home and you're able, I'm going to tell you to get here. It's not the same as being here. But for today, if you're on your couch and you know some places in your life where you're saying, you know, there's some wickedness in my life, there's some sin in my life, there's some things, I'm going to ask you to get up off of your couch. If you're driving down the car and this has pierced you, that's conviction. I'm going to ask you to hold up your hand. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person under the sound of my voice right now. God, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And Lord, right now, each person standing, we invite you into our life, God, to help us to turn from the things that we know are not right. God, I ask you right now to help us to live this sermon out in every single way. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. We are having church tonight at 5:30. I love all of y'all. There is some bagged up stuff on this table. Y'all go get it.